Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10. I want to share a message entitled "The Memory of the Just." Memory of the Just. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon: "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of the wicked profiteth nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a planning fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. And he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked." Let's pray. God, we're thankful to be here this morning in this Memorial Day weekend. We're reminded, Lord, of the great cost of freedom. And when we think of how many have made the ultimate sacrifice in losing their life, Lord, that men and women and boys and girls can be free. Lord, we honor their memory, and Lord, we strive to maintain the cause of freedom, Lord, continually from generation to generation. We're thankful, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And through his death, Lord, we can experience life. And I pray, Lord, you would bless this morning. There may be somebody here that's not saved. I pray that you would touch them, Lord, and bring them to faith in Christ, that they might be able to be born again and leave here knowing they're going to heaven. But God, I would also pray that you would help us as a people, Lord, that we might rejoice in the freedoms that we enjoy here in America. And Lord, that for the generations to come, Lord, that we would strive to maintain those freedoms to the testimony of the grace of God. And so I pray for your blessing on the preaching of the Word of God this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 7. "The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." Certainly this is Memorial Day weekend. We understand that. It's a time that is set aside to remember those who have fallen in battle, in foreign fields to protect us, that we might have the freedoms as a nation and as a people. It was in 1868 when General Logan, president of the Grand Army of the Republic, declared May 30th for the purpose of strewing with flowers the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion. It was after World War I when this day was set aside to remember all Americans who had died in any of the wars that America had been in. And so today, this weekend, we celebrate, if you can use that word, celebrate Memorial Day to remember those who have fallen in battle. Our text says, "The memory of the just is blessed." And I think of those that have been willing to offer themselves as a sacrifice that we might be free. Certainly, their memory is blessed to know that we have these freedoms that we enjoy. We were going to show a slideshow. I may do it next week, but we were having a problem with the computer. And I never saw this before, but it was a slideshow of all the cemeteries around the world where Americans are buried because they had died on foreign soils. Here in America, in Arlington Cemetery, they say that there is an excess of 300,000 that are buried in Arlington Cemetery, and it's growing. and always adding new bodies to be buried. And so when you see this tremendous picture of all these grave markers of so many people who have given their life so that we might be free, I have to say, certainly the memory of the just is blessed. And I think we do a disservice to us as a nation, as a people, when we do not honor those who have fallen and don't acknowledge the fact that we are free because of what they were willing to sacrifice. In the this last verse of the Star Spangled Banner, it states, "Then conquer we must when our cause is just, and this be our motto, and God is our trust." And I think we need to be reminded that we trust in the living God. And because we trust in the living God, then we can so state that the memory of the just is blessed. Because if God's blessing and God's hand is upon us, we can rejoice in the opportunities that we've been able to have in defending our nation, defending others around the world. But ultimately, Jesus Christ, the just one, offered himself as a sacrifice for you and for me, that as he died on the cross, it would provide freedom for us to be able to be set free from the bondage of all of our sins. So the memory of the just is blessed. First of all, there's a memorial of deliverance. Now we'll be back in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, we read of deliverance out of the nation of Egypt. And notice that the memorial in Exodus chapter 12 in verse 12 states, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." So memorial of deliverance. When God was going to bring the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt, he so stated that there would be a marker, if you will, or a reminder of what the cost was for their freedom and for their deliverance. First of all, it means that this matter is to be brought out of bondage. He said he was going to bring them out of the land of bondage. Notice in verse 12, he says that he would be fighting against the gods of Egypt. And may I say, when you look around the world and you see different nations and peoples, it's nations who are Christian nations who enjoy peace, tranquility, and freedom. It's the other nations that are underneath of oppressive religions and oppressive governments that put people into bondage. But when we think of battles that have been fought around the world and throughout the years by Americans, it was for the purpose of bringing people out of bondage. And we are thankful this morning that we can remember their lost and their lives that enabled us to be able to be free people and for others to be free. But beyond that, when you think of being brought out of bondage, it literally carries with the idea of people around the world that are in bondage to tyrannical leaders. And listen, the devil is a tyrannical leader. The devil wants to oppress you. He wants to control you. He wants to defeat you. He wants to destroy you. But Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he delivered us out of that bondage. He set us free from that oppression. And I think when we think of honoring those who had fallen in America, need to be reminded that, wait a minute, they fell in the pursuit of releasing people from bondage. Oftentimes, I think we take for granted in America the freedoms that we have, and we're not really mindful of the fact that what we have been set free from, because we've not had to suffer the things that other people have had to suffer around the world. And so it's easy for us to forget that the memory of the just is blessed. And listen, don't take it for granted for one moment this morning that wait a minute, we have freedom here in America, because that quickly that can be removed from us and we can fall into bondage. So Here is Moses goes down to the children of Israel. God establishes a memorial of their deliverance because they were brought out of bondage. They were in slavery in Egypt under the oppressive government and oppressive gods of Egypt, but God set them free. I also see this memorial of deliverance is to be bought with a price. And it cost a price here in verse 13, and the blood shall be unto you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So they were bought with a price, and literally it was the innocent dies for the unjust, but the wicked also die. And so here is the children of Israel. They're in bondage. They're going to be released. But they were going to be released through a price, a payment, if you will. The precious, innocent lamb would be slain. That lamb harmed no one. The lamb did nothing to require any type of judgment or punishment upon itself. But the lamb was slain and his blood was shed for one reason, and that was to bring the children of Israel out of bondage and to deliver them into a land that flows with milk and honey. But I think of Jesus Christ, the innocent one dying for the unjust. Jesus died for you and me when we were sinners and we were the enemies of God. Jesus offered himself as a perfect sacrifice to purchase us for all eternity. The Apostle Paul says literally in 1 Corinthians 6:20, ye are bought with a price. You're not your own. I don't know where we get this concept in Christianity where we think we have a right to our life. You have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You have become a child of God through faith in that sacrifice. But that faith and that deliverance and that salvation you experience cost God everything to save your soul. And as Moses would go into Egypt to bring the children of Israel out of bondage, he would have to see the innocent one die for the unjust to be delivered. You know, and I'd think of that. How many, I was watching some documentaries the other day, and I was just thinking, you know, when I went to the Marine Corps, I was 19 years old, and I was just looking on there and looking at some battles and things like that. And I looked at it, and I thought, you know what, these are nothing but kids. They're kids, you teenagers on the back row. It's you, 17, 18 year old. You guys have been in the service. You went in 17, 18 years old, and you served your country, and many of you had to fight battles. And we're talking about just innocent kids going into battle to fight and losing their life so that we can be free. How dare we? How dare we not honor their memory? The memory of the just is blessed. How dare we not remember the offering of Jesus Christ that we might be saved? Don't take it lightly. And don't just talk about salvation as a slip of the tongue, because your salvation came with a great price, and that was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the innocent, who was in all points tempted, and yet without sin, dying for every one of us filthy sinners until it set us free, till it was bought with a price. Notice also this deliverance was to be bound to freedom. In verse 14 it says, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. They were bound to acknowledge the freedom that they were experiencing as they were brought out of Egypt. You know, in John chapter 8, it says that if the Son of Man shall make thee free, ye shall be free indeed. And I'm thankful this morning that Jesus came to give his life and give his life more abundantly. And I'm thankful for the new life that we have in Christ. We ought to be bound to Christ because of the freedom that we have in through faith in him. Well, we ought to be bound to our nation for freedom. In other words, we should not be willing to give it up. Now, does that mean God directed them in a way to freedom? So let us lead the way. If God so led the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt, They were to be bound to that freedom, not to go back to Egypt and not to be bound into the bondage of Egypt again, but they were to be bound to the freedom that they have brought to them through faith in Moses' leadership and the blood of the Lamb that was shed. And they were to recognize that, remember that from generation to generation. I am afraid that we in America are forgetting what it cost us to have our freedoms that we have. I don't know what it does for you, but it turns my stomach when I see what's going on in our liberal colleges. It just turns my stomach when you have the Vice President of the United States of America speak at a commencement service and students get up and walk out. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. If I was the headmaster of the college, I don't care if they were there for 22 years. They would never get a degree from me. Never. Some of you are looking at me funny. Now, listen, the early servers looked at me funny, too. You're not going to scare me, amen? But I'm going to tell you right now, there is a foolishness that is going on in our nation that is robbing our next generation of the reality of what it costs to be free. And we're not willing to embrace the freedom that God has so blessed us with as a nation and a people. I can't understand how we can across this country in different cities where Muslims have taken over the cities, have taken over the city councils, where there literally are no-go zones where you don't go in there if you're a police officer. And there are areas where they literally have instituted Sharia law. Now, I don't know how you can do that in the United States of America. We're not governed by the law of another land. We're governed by our own land, by our own constitution. And yea, we Christians live by what the Word of God has to say. And we will not submit ourselves to another. Why? Because we are bound to be free. I don't know if you want to be free or not, but I'm going to tell you, I'm 65 years old, and I'm not willing to give up my freedom for nothing or no one. About time for America to get some guts and some backbone again and start standing for something rather than falling for everything. Why are we in this situation? Because we have refused to have a memorial of deliverance. We have refused to acknowledge what it has cost. We have refused to embrace the opportunities to be free. And may I just throw it in, as we as Christians, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If that is the case, then why is it that Christians want to go back and live an ungodly life again? It's because you don't want to embrace the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. A memorial of deliverance, the memory of the just, is blessed. Look over in Joshua chapter 4. Not only did he give them a memorial of their deliverance out of bondage in Egypt, but in Joshua chapter 4, he gave them a memorial of their entrance into the Canaan. And in Joshua chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "And this may be a sign unto you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. And the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." So they had a memorial of deliverance, of what they needed to observe in the Passover feast to remind them how God had set them free. But God also gave them a memorial of entering in to the land that flows with milk and honey. As they would cross over the Jordan River on dry ground, God instructed Joshua to take up 12 stones out of the riverbed and pile them up into a heap, and so that later on their children would come and they would ask, "What are these stones? Why is this altar here? What is this all about?" And they would say, "Well, wait a minute, this is when God brought us across Jordan. God not only delivered us from bondage, but God enabled us to enter into a nation that flows with milk and honey." And so a memorial of entrance. What was it? It was a reminder of sin that hindered their reward. You know, the children of Israel would have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And the reason why they would have to wander in the wilderness is because of the fact they distrusted their God. In Numbers chapter 13 and 33, it says, Then we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which cometh of the giants. And we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Notice they distrusted their God. God had brought them out of Egypt. It's an 11-day journey from Kadesh Barnea to entering into Canaan. And as they would go, they went into the land to spy it out as God had so commanded them to spy it out. And it says that we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. You know what the problem was? The giants responded to the Israelite based on the Israelites' concept of who they were. They said, we were grasshoppers in our own sight, so that we were now grasshoppers in their sight. Let me ask you something. What do you think of yourself as a Christian? What do you think of yourself as serving the living God? Can you trust God, or are you distrusting God? Are you looking at yourself as, oh, we're in a wicked world, we can't have victory, we can't win? Or do you believe God is bigger and greater and stronger than any of the gods of this world? You want to walk around looking like a grasshopper in your own sight? The world's going to look at you as if you're a grasshopper. Some people, I've had people over the years tell me, oh, you just get too bold, you get too aggressive. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to be a grasshopper up here. And I'm not scared of no giant either. I trust the living God. I believe that God can give freedom and God can give deliverance and God can bless beyond what I'm looking at in my life. I don't want to get a grasshopper complex. Joshua, why are you putting up those stones? Because we're remembering when we didn't trust God. We had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years before we could set those stones up because we distrusted God. They discredited God. In Numbers chapter 20, as they're wandering through the wilderness, in Numbers 20 and 3, it says, and the people chode against with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died with our brethren died before in the Lord. Well, that's really exciting, just walking around with a death complex. Oh, we would have been better off if we died. I know this, wait a minute. I got life that's abundant in Christ, and I'm not looking to die. I'm looking to live and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of my life. And hallelujah, I'm expecting the trump of God to sound, to be taken into glory. I'm not expecting to die. In verse 4 it says, and why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? Boy, you talk about being pessimistic. All you do is just bring us out here so that we can die in the waters. Now, wait a minute. God took you to the place of going into a land that flows with milk and honey. You didn't believe God could give it to you, and so you walked around with a grasshopper complex. God said, okay, I'll get over this emotional distress you're in. You walk around in the wilderness for 40 years, and watch how I can provide for you. I'll rain manna from heaven. I'll give you quails to eat. I'll give you water to drink out of the rock. I'll show you for 40 years how I can take care of you and bring you in. And all the time, they're discrediting God. Why did you bring us out? You should have just let us die. Now, wait a minute. God has something he wants to do. We need to remember sin that hinders us from enjoying the reward of God. He said, set up the stones. We need a reminder, surrenderer, that developed the reward of God. When they surrendered to God, old Joshua and Caleb said, wait a minute. We are able to go in and take this land. They believed God, and God would bless them. Why? Because they were willing to submit to the will of God. In Romans chapter 12, and verse 1 and 2, submitting to the will of God. It is so vitally important for you to discern what the will of God is for your life. In Romans 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the memorial reminded them, wait a minute, Joshua and Caleb had surrendered completely to God, And as they put that memorial up, it will remind them of God's reward. And I think when we are willing to surrender to the will of God, it will give us a grateful heart to acknowledge how God is the one who has blessed us as a nation. This country was founded on biblical principles, Christian principles. And don't you let anybody tell you different. You get the history book out. And I mean one of them that hasn't been edited. And I mean one of them that hasn't been corrupted. And I'm talking about getting some history out that's real history rather than rewritten history and show them what the principles are that this country was founded on. And we need to submit to the will of God. And we as a nation need to submit to the will of God, to submit to the chastisement of God. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I'm thankful that even Romans 1 Peter 4:17 says that judgment must begin at the house of God. And listen, Israel had to get in a position where they were ready to experience the will of God and the chastening hand of God so that they could enjoy the blessings and the reward of God. And submit to the timing of God. I love Psalm 18. I put this in my lesson here. I love Psalm 18, but Psalm 18 and 30 is such a great verse speaking in reference to God's ability to bless them with a reward when you surrender to him. In Psalm 18 and 30, it says, as for God, I love how that verse starts. He's going through all kinds of things here about scenarios of people's lives. And this. He said, as for God, he said, let's remember about God. As for God, his way is perfect. Hey. There's never a time when God does anything wrong.
Right.
You say, well, wait a minute. You don't understand what I've been through in my life, and I question God on that. No, you're wrong, and God is right.
Amen.
God is always right. You may do things that disobey the commands of God. You may respond to situations that violate principles in the Word of God. And yes, you may have to suffer the chastening hand of God because you're out of the will of God, but everything that God does is right.
Amen.
It says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. In other words, everything that is written in this Bible is tried and tested by God, and it's relevant and works in your life. There is not any book that is more relevant for 2017 than the Word of God. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. And Israel had to come to the realization that God's timing and God's chastisement and God's will is always good and just and right, and they needed to set a memorial of reminding them as they're going into the promised land. It was reminding them, it may have taken you 40 years to get here, but this is the place that God wanted you to be from the beginning. But you didn't trust him, didn't believe him, you wouldn't surrender to him. And so you had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But as for God, his way is perfect. And so the memorial of the entrance into the Canaan land, reminder of sin that hindered the reward, reminder of surrender that developed a reward, but there's a reminder of service that opened the way to the reward. In other words, they had to step out in faith. In Joshua chapter 3, the Jordan River did not part until the priest put the sole of their feet in the river. Now listen, living by faith is not saying, I believe God wants me to do this, and as soon as he shows me A, B, C, and D of my life, then I'll go ahead and I have faith to believe in, I'll respond. That is not faith. The faith is not when the priest going up to the river and say, okay, God, I know you said we're going to walk over on dry ground, but exactly when is the water going to part? Lord, exactly how steep is the incline coming from the dry ground walking to the bottom of the Jordan? You know, God, how long do you think or perceive or have you projected it's going to take for us to get in excess of 1 million people across the Jordan River? God, tell me all these details, and now I'll take the step of faith and stepping in the Jordan River. No, sir. Faith is taking the step before you know the details of what's going to happen. So stepping out by faith, to walk through in faith, knowing that the judge of all the earth shall do right, and God was going to work on their behalf, and they needed to walk through and walk up to the city of Jericho and surround the city of Jericho as God had told them, and the walls would fall down, and yea, the walls fell down. And so, what is Joshua? What's these stones? Why are these here? They're a remembrance. They're a memorial of the entrance into the Canaan land. Why? The memory of the just is blessed. Oh, that we might remember the just that have gone into battle, and the just that have stood their ground, and the just that has enabled us to have freedom, and ultimately the just one, Jesus Christ, who builds our faith and blesses us in our faith, a memorial of entrance. You should never forget the details of when you got saved, when you entered into the kingdom of God, when you became a child of God. You need a memorial of that time when you trusted Christ as your Savior. So memorial, memory of the just is blessed. There's a memorial of deliverance. There's a memorial of entrance. And then Nehemiah chapter 2, there's a memorial of advance. Look over in the book of Nehemiah. As you turn over to Nehemiah, there is a memorial of advance. In other words, moving ahead in Nehemiah chapter 2 in verse 20. Nehemiah 2:20. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Boy, it'd be nice to have some people just be that positive. Amen. The God of heaven, he will prosper. Well, you know, soul winning's hard. The God of the heavens will prosper us. Well, you know, financially, the God of heaven will prosper us. Yeah, but I've got opposition and problems in my family. The God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Oh, here we come, these accusers, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, coming down and accusing Israel and trying to horn in on what God was doing. And Nehemiah just told him this, and wait a minute, we have a memorial of God's leading us in building this wall. And he said, I want you to know right up front, you don't have any part in it. You have no part in this memorial. I want to be having a part of the memorial of advancement. Notice in verse 17 of Nehemiah chapter 2, they were motivated by seeing the need. In verse 17 it says, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And so here is the motivation for them to advance ahead is because they see the need. Now the question just simply is this. Are you willing to open your eyes and see the need? People look at us as a nation. We say, well, it's okay. We don't care. Just pass another budget as a government, and we go farther and farther in debt. They're talking right now, raising the debt ceiling again. Raise the debt ceiling again. I don't care if you're Republican, Independent, or Democrat. It doesn't matter who gets in there. Raise the debt ceiling, raise the debt ceiling, raise the debt ceiling. Can somebody please open their eyes and see this cannot continue? The moral condition in America. I mean, rampant homosexuality. I was talking to someone the other day, I was reading an article, I think it was, and we were talking about the end thing in public schools right now is transgenderism. You're the in crowd. If you're a transgender, the peer pressure is coming on kids to pursue that type of thing. Can somebody please open their eyes up and see what is going on? The interesting thing to me is I have parents from public school bringing their kids to our school, and they've been coming over, they've been flooding our gates, our doors this year, and I got to get my kids out of here. And yet there's others that have kids in our Christian school, been in our Christian school for years. Oh, I'm taking them out and putting them in the public school. I don't understand it. And you have that right to decide what you want to do as a parent. But can you please pray for me? Because I can't comprehend it. I can't comprehend the embracing of the immoral lifestyle. I cannot comprehend for this, for the life of me. I cannot comprehend why people who claim to be saved, to be a child of God, that you post all over Facebook. I just recently saw somebody I know and know them for years. Put it on Facebook, standing there with an alcoholic drink in their hand. And then they'll put something on Facebook the next day, oh, how I love the Lord. No, you don't. No, you don't. You can't have it both ways. When we saw the condition, I'm going to tell you right now, you will not establish a memorial for advancing in your Christian life. We will not establish a memorial as a nation, as a people to remain free if we will not open our eyes and see what the problem is. It's not going to go away because you're ignoring it.
Right.
Motivated by seeing the need. I'll tell you, after 35 years of ministry, my heart is, I've been grieved over the years, but my heart has never been as grieved as it is right now. Never in 35 years. And I've seen some wicked things. But what grieves my heart is the acceptance and the embracing of this immoral concept of living by Christians. And it's because you can't see. See, right now, you might want to embrace it. Right now, you're saying, well, it doesn't matter. Right now, you're saying it's not affecting me. But I'm going to tell you something. 10 years from now, see what it is. 20 years from now, see what it is. If America doesn't start securing us our as a nation, and as a people, we don't start securing things in our country, just wait and see what's going to be 10 years from now, 20 years from now. 20 years from now, I'll be 85. Hallelujah. If I'm not checked out by then, 20 years goes by fast. You young people, you better get ready. You better put your seatbelts on because you're going to be going for a ride. We need to establish a memorial of advancing, moving ahead. Notice they were strengthened by uniting together. Verse 17, it says in the last part of the verse, and it says, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. Let me ask you something. Do you believe, just honestly believe, that we need revival in America? Do you believe that we need revival in Ocean County Baptist Church? If you believe that, then what are you going to do about it? Are you going to surrender to the Lord? Are you getting on fire for God? Are you going to share your faith with others? Are you going to be committed and sold out to God? That's what revival is.
Amen.
Revival is not a status quo and having some preacher come in and pay him some money to come preach for a week and tickle our ears, and then we go through, oh, didn't we have a wonderful revival, and nothing changes in the church. That's not revival. There was a memorial that they established that, wait a minute, we're building this wall. God showed us the problem. He showed us the falling apart of the walls of Jerusalem, and we understood that we had to unite together, work together to build the wall. I'm going to tell you, nationally speaking, if America does not come together, you can forget it. We are going under. Jesus said, no nation divided among itself can stand. Now, I'm not saying this to be disrespectful to anybody, but I went through in 1969, 1970, 1971. I lived through the race riots in America. I know what it is to go to school and be jumped and beat up for no other reason but being white. And I know what it is to see people who were black put in the hospital because of being jumped. And I thought to myself, there would never, this, nothing could be worse than this. But I'm telling you right now, in 2017 in America, it's worse than that. And it's time for us to start realizing that we as a nation must be together as a nation. Amen. Otherwise, when we are divided between one another, we cannot stand. There is no room for racial slandering and racism, whatever side it may be on. There's no room for it. There certainly is no room for it among Christians. But it'd be nice for Christians to be an example to a world that needs to see what loving each other is, regardless of what our race is. A memorial of advance. We need to advance ahead because we see the need and because we're united together. But in verse 18, because we're empowered by resting in God's hand. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. And also of the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. And they strengthened their hands for this good work. You know, people will respond to the good work of God if we'll just tell them, hey, this is God's in this thing. And we need to live in light of the empowering power of the hand of God upon us. Amen. You say, why should I even care? Because the memory of the just is blessed. I love reading books on revival, and I see in history where revivals broke out and hundreds, lay thousands of people were saved, and the changes that it made in a town. I love reading of revivals, and when revival broke out in many towns, the liquor stores would shut down. I like reading about those things that happen. Well, wait a minute. I want to advance, I move ahead right now as a Christian in 2017. I want to see God do greater things in 2017 than he did last year. I want to advance ahead. I want to move ahead. In early service, I thought about this. And after I said it, I thought, well, maybe, I don't know if I came across right. So I thought I might as well say it in this service too, amen? So if I'm going to get in trouble, I might as well get in trouble with everybody instead of half of the church. But I've had people ask me, well, what about, let's go back to one service. Listen, one service, you can't fit everybody in. And we might be able to squeeze everybody in, but I'm going to tell you what happens when visitors come in. They come in, they look in, there's no place to sit, they turn around, they walk out. Americans don't like to be crowded together. You don't think so? Look around. Because if we didn't mind being crowded together, you wouldn't sit out on the sides. Everybody would be all sitting together here and rejoicing in the Lord together. But we've got to have our 36 inches of space, amen? And I've had people say, wait a minute, you know, why don't we go back to one service? Well, first of all, that's an impossibility because the fact is we can't fit everybody in. And to do that is to go backwards. And the other thing is this, I am not one for retreating. I am one for advancing. Amen. And you say, well, wait a minute, there's a lot of seats open. Then bring somebody to church with you next week. Well, you know, it'd be nice if we were crowded in both of the services. Well, go get somebody saved. Amen. Maybe I'll have a pack of pews Sunday. Amen. And you say, well, I'll pick one of the short pews. Amen. That's all right, pack a pew. What am I saying? We need a memorial of advance. The memorial of Nehemiah was, here's a wall that's broken down. Israel needs to be rebuilt. Let's unite together with the hand of God on us, and let's watch what God will do. And there was, listen, the memory of what Nehemiah did is a blessing. The memory of the just is blessed. So what am I saying? Just here, concluding thoughts here. The memory of the just is blessed. God has given deliverance to many people through the might, power, and sacrifice of the United States. Don't you let somebody cut us down and ridicule us in reference to saying that we don't care. I don't know of any nation in the world that gives more money and sacrifices more lives to help more people in this world than the United States of America. The memory of the just is blessed. God has gotten our attention through the years over the consequences of sin. Yes, we have problems we have to overcome in America. And much of those problems that we have is because of the fact that we have sinned before God. And we have to answer for that. But if we'll repent as a nation, God will continue to bless. Then God has grown us as a nation as we unite together under the banner of the cross. I don't believe there'll be peaceful unity under the banner of Islam. I don't believe there's going to be unity and peace under the banner of these cults. I believe there will be unity and peace when we come under the banner of the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is identified as the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the one who came into the upper room when the disciples were fearful after his crucifixion. He rose and he came in, and his statement to them was, "Peace be unto you." And so when Christ is the center of attention and Christ is the center of focus and Christ is uniting us together, that's when we enjoy peace. Amen. The memory of the just is blessed. When I think of the memory of all that Christ has done and all he continues to do, I'm blessed because of the fact of the move of God. Amen. But let's remember those that have fallen literally and given their life this Memorial Day weekend, their memory. The memory of the just is blessed. Let's honor their memory, because you and I would not be sitting here in this sanctuary completely void of fear of retaliation for being a Christian if it wasn't for them sacrificing themselves. And the sacrifice that they gave gives us the privilege of being free. The memory of the just is blessed. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. I really am overwhelmed, Lord, and I think of the goodness of God. I think of what we enjoy as a nation, as a people. I think many times we just forget about it and we take it for granted and really don't show much appreciation. Forgive us of that, God. Help us, Lord, to be drawn together under the banner of the cross, that we might love one another as truly the family of God. And Lord, that we might reach out to those around us that are lost and that they might come to know Christ as their Savior when they realize how blessed they can be, Lord, when they understand the sacrifice of the just one, the innocent one, for those of us that are unjust and sinful. God, help us never develop a spirit of ingratitude, but help us, Lord, to give you praise. Help us to acknowledge the power of God. As Nehemiah just over and over again declared and proclaimed the good hand of his God, Lord, help us to do that day by day with each person we come in contact with. Bless us, Lord, in a great way as a nation. Help us to grow in faith. Help us to continue to be a Christian nation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.